God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. God tells us he will not be mocked. So what does it mean when people mock him? Let's think about that. God will not be mocked, and yet people mock him. So they're really mocking him? Now let's think about this from a historical biblical perspective. Do you remember Caiaphas? Caiaphas was, let's say, ceremonially Jewish, I think by convenience. Connected him to power circles. I didn't know Caiaphas. You didn't either. None of us did. We can just read about him and being appointed leader of the Jewish people by virtue of being a technocratic religious authority and put there by Rome, cooperating with the oppressors, as it were. And Caiaphas had a plan. Caiaphas had this idea, this plan is the high priest of Israel. And his plan was, hey, let's kill this Jesus. Because he rose someone from the dead. I mean, that was the precipitating event, right? When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So Caiaphas said, a brilliant idea. Better that one man die than all of Israel. And is that mocking God? I mean, God won't be mocked. No, it's doing exactly as God designed Caiaphas to do. Jesus surrendered, not because he had to. He had free will, still does, was now, and always will be, always has been, part of the triune Godhead. It's because the plan had to be fulfilled. The law had to be fulfilled. God's will had to be carried out. So he did that. So you have Caiaphas, and was it mocking God? Maybe he didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. I mean, almost certainly he didn't, right? But there were all the signs. There were all the signs and wonders. Now, I don't know about you. I'd like to think that even if I was operating on my human wisdom, not God's wisdom, if I knew for a fact that a man raised a dead man from death into life with his words, remember that the Lord Jesus thanked Father God. And thanked him for hearing his prayers and said, I know you always hear my prayers, but I say this for the people around me so they may know. I think he was also saying, look, I am in fact the Messiah and I need to be connected to God. I'm channeling his powers here because I am now Messiah. I will return to the Godhead. But if I witnessed that, I saw someone do that, and then I got in my own head, you know what? We should kill that guy. How could he? Maybe he'll raise himself. So when the Bible tells us God will not be mocked, and yet people are mocking God, what do we make of that? People are mocking God all over the place, but God will not be mocked. So here's what we also know. God doesn't do accidents. There's no slip-ups. At no time is God a cosmic Homer Simpson going, don't! Didn't see that coming. Nope. I talk from time to time because it's very important that people understand the truth about James Jimmy Tallarico. James Jimmy Tallarico is running for the Senate in Texas. He has studied the Bible in college and pretends to be a Christian who thinks the following, that all religions lead to the same place. In other words, Jesus Christ is not the way, the truth, and the life. People do get to the Father without Jesus, according to James Jimmy Tallarico, this Christian man, so-called, running for the Senate in Texas. He says that when the angel asked Mary to be the human mother of Jesus, well, the only mother of Jesus, that because the angel asked, that's an argument for abortion. Even though the angel never came back at the third trimester and said, hey, Mary, I know this is pretty tough on you. You want us to abort God's son? That never happened. James Jimmy Tallarico pretends that the United States government banned CBS from having him on Stephen Colbert's show. This is really an interesting dodge. Stephen Colbert lives by some rules because he has a broadcast television program. And that is, if you invite one politician from one party on, you have to invite someone from the other party. Colbert doesn't want to do that. So they ran the James Jimmy Tallarico program online. So it was never broadcast. Therefore, it doesn't need to live by those rules. And James Jimmy Tallarico is pretending that the DOJ prevented him, or probably the government prevented that from going on TV. That's not true. Even Jasmine Crockett has called this out. So James Jimmy Tallarico is a fake Christian mocking God. What does that mean? Because God will not be mocked. Do you think God feels mocked? No. God can look at that circumstance and go, yes, a false teacher. An opportunity for the faithful to practice identifying them, knowing them by their fruits. An opportunity for others to learn that saying you're Christian doesn't make you one. God's not being mocked. There's other instances where people, I think, believe they're mocking God. Do you remember Rachel Levin? For some reason, we call people who run Health and Human Services, we call them Admiral. I don't get that, but we do. Admiral Rachel Levin, MD, announced as keynote speaker for the ACHA's 2026 annual meeting. By the way, this is an organization, the American College Health Association, is having as the keynote speaker a man who pretends to be a woman, a man who obsessed about transing street kids, a man who berated college administrators for not understanding how much money they could make by transing people as a keynote speaker about health, a man who wants to vandalize the bodies of homeless kids because they're homeless, because they're born in the wrong body, mocking God. Do you think God feels mocked? God will not be mocked. Who's doing the mocking or the attempted mocking? I don't know that Admiral Levin thinks he's mocking God. I think Admiral Levin has probably convinced himself that he is the do-gooder of all do-gooders. So who's doing the mocking? Which entity has wanted to mock God from the moment that entity got himself kicked out of heaven? All he does, Satan, is ape God. He can't create, so he distorts. He can't deliver, so he distracts. He cannot love, so he depresses. And since he cannot create, he mocks God's creation. This comes from Slate.com. This was the first headline. They later changed it not long after they got caught running this headline. It's a picture of a man pretending to be a woman, apparently. And it's shot from behind, so you can't see this man's face. Or maybe this is even actually a real woman. And this is at a gun range. And the person's holding a pistol in firing position. Target is downrange, wearing ear protection. Here's the headline. Conservatives are terrified that people like me are buying guns now. Maybe they should be. By Christina Cotterici. So liberal women are buying guns because, of course, they're being threatened with what? You know who else has been doing this? So-called trans people buying guns. You know what else they've been saying? Maybe conservatives should fear us. Look what's happened in the past 3 weeks. We've had how many liberals who participated in their own death mocking law and order? We've had how many men who think they're women mocking God by the mutilation of their bodies go out to kill others? You shall not murder. This is vandalism of their bodies, vandalism of their minds and their souls, taking of innocent life. You shall not murder. And can you see Satan looking at God going, look what I'm doing? And can you see God looking down at Satan going, do you remember, Caiaphas? Do you remember or do you even understand yet what I did? So God uses all things for his glory. Those of us who are Christian must understand some things here. God doesn't present trials to hurt us. He allows things to go on to help us live out his glory. One of our jobs is to be okay. One of our jobs is to look at all of this madness and be okay because we know God's in charge. One of our jobs is to never give in to hatred. One of our jobs is to be able to look at Rachel Levin, at this ridiculous man pretending to be a woman, and pray for him. One of our jobs is to be strong by allowing God to be the strength. New Hampshire State Representative Alice Wade, who is a man pretending to be a woman, would have you believe that men going into the women's restrooms are more likely to get assaulted.
What restroom should I go to? In the state house. Where do you want me? Do you want me in the men's room? I don't want me in the men's room. I haven't been in the men's room in 6 years, but I'm a trans woman. And let's say this law passes and the house decides we're going to enforce a bathroom policy here at the state house. And I'm not going into the men's room. I'll tell you that right now. I am more likely to be assaulted in the men's room. Statistically, trans women, when forced to go into the men's room, are, I believe it's somewhere along the lines of at least 4 times as likely to be assaulted. We are the people who are being targeted here. And the testimony before makes absolutely no sense, because if I walk into the women's room, and even if somebody points at me and says, I think you're trans, how in the they going to prove that?
Because you're obviously a man. So let's follow this mocking of logic. This man who pretends to be a woman says, men are so unsafe that I go into the restrooms, I'm very likely to get assaulted, but men should be in women's restrooms because men don't assault women. Now, incidentally, the statistics that man shared are laughable and silly. There are not enough instances of fake women getting assaulted by men in men's bathrooms to even build a statistic around this. But there are these statistics. Men who pretend to be women have now for years been tied to far, far greater rates of rage-induced domestic violence against one another. All this violence you hear that so-called trans women suffer, meaning men who pretend to be women, it's at the hands of other men pretending to be women because they are deeply mentally ill. And they're mocking God. Or are they? Is it them that are mocking God? See, God will not be mocked, but God will build for us circumstances where we can look and say, wow, the world is increasingly fallen. I need God even more. God may be saying to you, hey, do you see that time is short? Do you still have non-Christians in your life? Have you gone to them to beg them to turn and to go to him? Have you gone to the non-Christians in your life now that it seems to be a speeding up of the evil? When we come back, I really want you to be careful. If you have young people listening, I want you to make sure you're right by the radio, but this is really important for us to understand. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I never do things on this network, which I'm only on through the grace of God. It was so clearly God's intervention that brought me here, and I'm endlessly thankful to Sandy Rios and then Frank Trek and the Wildman family and you. You know, your donations keep AFR going, and your donations during this hour at AFR.net, it speaks of support. And I'm the least of these here. I'm the new guy still, and still stand on the shoulders of giants who built this place. So I don't do this to be titillating or for any reason other than I believe to whom much is given, much is expected, and I think that I've been asked to be a watcher at the gate by God. I'm not a prophet at all, at all, but watcher at the gate. There's some things that are right here in the open that most people don't see, and I beg you to not be one of them. This is a teacher. Her name is Ramona Bessinger. She is a teacher at the PVD schools, and she's sounding the alarm over what's going on. Providence schools, Providence, Rhode Island, serves nearly 20,000 students. They brag about being diverse. Well, they kind of are. Ramona writes this. This is a school wall mural of Moloch, a satanic demon from Jenks Middle School in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. The mural was painted by children with guidance from a teacher and approval from an administrator. Moloch is the demon of child sacrifice. Jenks Middle School was and still is under the control of Angelica Infante Green, who is tasked with improving academic outcomes in Rhode Island. When parents complained, the mural was painted over. But it's still there under a coat of white paint, an image of child sacrifice. Homeschool your children, writes the teacher. And there it is, a mural of Moloch, the demon of child sacrifice. So what would this administrator say? Well, we don't have a state religion. There can be no religious test. There can be no official state religion. Why should it be Christianity? Why can't I have a demon on the wall? Or maybe she'd say, oh, come on. Come on. You don't believe in demons. You don't believe in the devil with his pitchfork and his funny red suit. This is right here in front of us. Sometimes it's a humiliation ritual. You know, we see these things and we speak of it, and people go, oh my gosh, they roll their eyes. Oh my gosh, that person believed in the devil. So that's a slow start into what's going to become a tougher segment, taking a step forward towards the ultimate end of this pretty tough segment. So, standing at a pulpit wearing a Planned Parenthood stole, a so-called female pastor says she felt God's presence while deciding to end two pregnancies.
As a woman who has borne two children, I can affirm that I felt something sacred happening in my gestating body during those pregnancies. I can also attest that I felt God's presence with me as I made the decision to end two pregnancies. And I felt no guilt, no shame, no sin.
That was not God's presence, and if it was, he wasn't happy. But that Moloch was happy. So, let's just check all spirits here. Now, this woman is clearly a false teacher, therefore, I doubt very much she has the Holy Spirit. Now, if she had the Holy Spirit, truly had the Holy Spirit, could you be in that circumstance with the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, the kingdom of heaven within you, and have no questions about the abortion, such as, is this murder? No doubt, such as, should I be doing this? And to feel a spiritual presence in the room, what do demons want? I mean, they want to mock God. Who stitched those babies together in her womb? Was it Moloch? No, he can't build. Only destroy. Who stitched the babies together? God Almighty. Who had counted every hair on their little heads? God Almighty. In whose image were they made? In that of God Almighty. Who said, you shall not murder? God Almighty. Who said, as you do to the least of these, so you do to me? Jesus, God Almighty. Who says you shall murder? You shall feel no guilt. Well, the one who mocks God. And yet God will not be mocked. So there's a poster, there was a painting of Moloch on a school in Providence, Rhode Island, on a school wall. And it's covered up with white paint, but still behind the wall. And that's a mocking of God, but God will not be mocked. And if we don't talk about these things, we are not watchers at the gate. If we do not say the demons are either so desperate or so overconfident that they're now putting themselves on the displays of school walls, then we are failing at our test as watchers at the gate. There's a guy in Hollywood who did an interview on Joe Rogan's podcast, and it is a chilling interview. He's the co-writer of Pulp Fiction, a Quentin Tarantino film. Of course it's filthy. Quentin Tarantino can't make anything that's not filthy. And I guess I'm thinking back to the time we watched it. I think it's supposed to be funny or campy, or the characters are supposed to be grossly charming, or I don't know. I've never appreciated a Quentin Tarantino film. In all fairness, that's the only one I've ever seen. And I came away from it so dumbfounded that people liked it. I never went to another Quentin Tarantino film or rented one or clicked on one. So I guess I should be fair and say, I don't know what he is as a director, just that one. But this guy's had roles other than that. He knew Stanley Kubrick. He worked with Stanley Kubrick. On this podcast, he said that a film that Kubrick made with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, Eyes Wide Shut, he contended that that was Kubrick warning the world about satanic sex cults of the elite, robbing people of their childhood, trafficking children, giving them to the cult for sexual sacrifice, that movie was a warning from Kubrick. And he points to this scene where Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise have fallen into this cult. They've participated in these satanic rituals, and they are blatantly satanic, blatantly so. And they've been involved in perverse sex activities, blatantly reminiscent of the Molochs and the Baals, blatantly reminiscent of the sexual temples. They have a little girl, and throughout the entire film, they never let her out of their sight when they're in public until the last scene. They're in a toy store, and two men are following them around. And then Nicole Kidman her character and Tom Cruise's character let the men hold hands with their little girl and take her away. It was Stanley Kubrick who knew Hollywood warning us, I think, when this is what this gentleman thinks. So his name is Roger Avery. And Pulp Fiction co-writer Roger Avery was a guest on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he revealed he believes a Luciferian cult has cast a spell on the world.
What's going on in your normal lives? Waiting for a condensed version that lays out all the facts. It's the people that are like really interested in reading all the emails.
I think the Luciferians cast a spell on the world.
And for real?
Oh, absolutely. It's just like how vampires can't go into a house unless they're invited. They tell you, what's going on ahead of time. It's predictive programming. And once you say it out loud and you put it out there and make fun of it and do a little skit like they Stephen Colbert did a little skit on his show where, oh, here's a baby. I'm going to take this baby and I'm going to give it to Moloch. And he goes into like a cloudy red, furnace and hands the baby over. And he's, oh, the baby's going to be fine. And they make a joke about it and the audience laughs. Okay, we're all now conditioned to it. We've all seen it. And by laughing at it, we're complicit.
Think that that's on purpose, that this is like some sort of a grand design to get us to be desensitized to the idea of demons eating babies?
Yeah, for sure.
Really?
For sure.
So this guy is around the elites of the elites. And remember this, that you have to invite the demon to inhabit you. They can oppress you. You can get to such a point where they can come into your body and possess you, but not if you have the Holy Spirit. We make agreements with them accidentally. You sin, you're making an agreement with a demon because you know the demon's in your ear saying, yeah, 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 do that, I agree. So let us, as we listen to this, put on the armor of God. Remember that he who is within us is greater than he who is without. Remember that we are given powers from the Lord Jesus, delegated powers to expel demons. With the Holy Spirit within us, they're powerless against us. So let's remember that as we listen to this. Roger Avery believes that a small group of elites are manipulating reality as we know it.
And by the way, nobody's doing anything about it. We know what's happening.
But that has to take, like, there has to be a person or some group of people.
Yeah, like about 8,500 people. Yeah.
That are manipulating the Colbert Show?
That are manipulating everything. It's all an illusion. Like, reality as we know it is fake. That's the revelation that guy is having. And he's looking around and he's like, it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Well, the thing about the emails is, one of the things is it's just stuff written down. And so that's sort of hard to digest. Like, what is this? Like, what are they saying? Like, some of it is in code, like walking over beef jerky. Like talking about jerky, could you walk beef jerky over to this person? Like, what does that mean?
For all this pizza they're talking about, you never see any pizza.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Ordering pizza.
I'm going to get some grape soda. It's like with my cheese pizza.
Yeah.
And like there's all this coded language and everyone's like, oh, that's you just have pariola. You're just seeing things where you want to see them.
They weren't talking about beef jerky because in one instance on the Epstein files, they said they could rush some beef jerky to Jeffrey Epstein and it wasn't that much, so it wouldn't need that much ice. Do you ice your beef jerky? Yeah, no one does. It's the point of jerky. So this guy who was a co-writer of Pulp Fiction, who worked with Stanley Kubrick, who said Kubrick was trying to warn us with eyes wide shut, Roger Avery describes how the world wants to be deceived.
No, this is clearly a code. Well, that was the thing about Pizzagate.
It's absolutely a code. And in fact, mundus vult decipi, ergo decipiatur. It's a long known concept. And so in Latin, mundus vult decipi means the world wants to be deceived. Ergo, decipiatur. Therefore, it is. We want to be deceived. We don't want to believe the horrors that are actually behind the veil.
Well, I think with the Epstein files, people are, because of these emails that have been released, people are just now starting to be aware of the bizarreness of the code and some of the things, like the facts. Like, let's just talk about the sulfuric acid. So this was like right after he was indicted in 2018.
Yeah, I got to get rid of some bodies.
He ordered a bunch of sulfuric acid. After being indicted, he ordered sulfuric acid. He had a 10,000-acre ranch around New Mexico, next to Texas, I understand. And two girls who were abused there say that they knew girls who had their lives ended and were buried on that ranch. I believe it was his girlfriend he paid to become a dentist. Forwarded him a link to a story about parents in New Mexico desperately seeking their daughter. We need to see what's in front of us. There is a humiliation ritual to this. You believe these things? Yes, because the Bible tells me there's demons. and that the world is a fallen place and the prince of the air rules. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to reign within us, he is powerless against us. Roger Avery believes there are human sacrifices going on every single day in L.A. Warning, there is some really graphic content described in this clip.
6 55-gallon containers full of sulfuric acid.
What?
They're eating babies, man. Like, that's
the... So that you think is real? So,
well, yeah, not only that, I think that there's, you know, sacrifices going on every day in Los Angeles. I mean, you know, allegedly, like, you know, high-level musicians, let's say, high-level female musician is, like, you know, killing chickens every day, doing sacrifices. Like, you know...
High-level.
Well, I don't want to say names because I don't want to get sued. And I don't want to be dead either.
So what they're describing is unimaginable for some people, but why? Do we think that we're now the special generation that Satan cannot twist in this way? Do we think that we suddenly are on the new heaven and the new earth? God has warned us things are going to get very, very bad in the end days. The prophet Isaiah said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil," and we live in a nation that calls men women and women men. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal note here. And gentleman we were just playing an interview from, he's on Joe Rogan's program, one of the co-writers of Pulp Fiction and worked with Stanley Kubrick. He's risking his career. And maybe he's made enough money that doesn't matter any longer by warning the world about he believes Luciferians are running it. Well, what's the Bible tell us? Lucifer gets to run it. So why would Luciferians not be involved in that? And if we are Bible-believing Christians, let's not stop believing the Bible, the prince of the air. But let's not fear. God commands it. Let's remember that he who is within us is greater than they without us. And let's remember that sin compounds. Step by step, there are no small steps towards sin. There's just steps. My wife has gifted me it's for both of us, but it's a print in our bedroom. C.S. Lewis talking about how sin compounds. You know, a seemingly meaningless dalliance with lust or lies one day can add up to the enemy taking a bridgehead or a point from which he could launch an attack that you could never imagine. Likewise, God's abiding, God's love compounds. A seemingly minor act of love or compassion compounds over time to doing great things that we could never imagine because of our abiding, a state of relationship we could never imagine, a state of marital union we could never imagine, of times of plenty with our kids, of rewards, perhaps not financial, but relational, emotional, men with Christian brothers, women with Christian sisters, families together. So I know that was a tough segment for those who heard it. And it's also something just to realize that just like sharks eat to live, just like snakes can strike if they're frightened, just like bad things can happen, like trees falling on cars, the demons exist. And we are absolutely protected when we abide on an everyday basis. And when, remember, there's no small steps. I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus spoke of mind sin. I think this is one of the reasons that Jesus said, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you. A man who looks at a woman with lust in his eyes has already committed adultery, because there's no small steps towards sin. It begins in the mind before it begins in the body, in the actions. So if we do anything for ourselves in the way of measurement, we're not to seek the approval of man, but the approval of God. So how does God approve our marriages? Do they honor him? Be a great husband, honor God. Abide with God, because then you'll be coming under and lifting up. You'll be serving. You'll be in a race to serve. Likewise with young people listening to this. Honor your parents. Obey them unless they tell you to violate God's word. Still honor them and love them, but you can't disobey God's word. So I, at risk of turning into a personal note, and that's not time for this, we've got a couple things to take care of, including the Tower of Babbling. We talked about Los Angeles and the worst of the worst. Do you want to know how fallen Los Angeles is? Hidden cameras caught employees with the LA Homeless Services Authority throwing out money effectively.
Our hidden cameras caught employees with the LA Homeless Services Authority throwing cases of taxpayer-funded food right into the dumpster. Food that's supposed to go to the homeless, now going in the trash. You can see it here, just come pouring out of the box. And not just once or twice.
It's a sandwich, an apple, and water.
But despite the tens of thousands of homeless going hungry on the streets of LA, no one got to eat this food.
By the way, they said the sandwich and the apple, those are items that can expire. There were canned goods. There were boxed goods that have long shelf lives. Not maybe the best food for you in the boxed goods. Canned goods are fine. So how is it then that something like this can go on? They get these hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money. They're caught doing this, but the people who lead these agencies continue to get reelected. So maybe, well, let's do this. Does this help explain how politicians who support obvious swindles keep getting elected in Los Angeles and the rest of California?
Something like this should never happen.
Christina Rapaci is talking about the box of 104 unopened ballots. She found them walking her dog in East Hollywood on Oxford and Institute Place Saturday. Video shows the pile of ballots.
And I picked some envelopes up and I saw they were ballots.
Rapaci took the ballots home for safekeeping while trying to figure out what to do with them. She says she contacted several politicians to no avail and the LA County Sheriff's Department.
I actually called the Sheriff's Department. I couldn't get through, so I emailed them. I got an email back from a deputy saying that it wasn't, well, not in so many words, but basically like it wasn't their problem. Contact the USPS.
How indeed can these people keep getting reelected? Goodness gracious, I'm glad it's not vote fraud, because we have the safest, most secure elections in the whole world. It's sometimes difficult, maybe even ironic, but on this program, we actually thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like the dictator of California, Gavin Newsom, on tall towers of shaking sand with her feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
We are expanding access to transportation. Seems like maybe it's a small issue, it's a big issue. You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
I never thought about it that way. Wow. Cammie Harris, philosopher. Three sound bites. No! Wow! Four sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. Unprecedented. Danish filmmaker Nicolaj Arcel was asked why his Danish movie was entirely Nordic in its cast.
This is a cast and a Danish production, which is entirely Nordic. It therefore has some lack of diversity, you would say, as also new rules are implied in
what
Hollywood.
What are you on to?
Sorry, but
from the get-go.
From the get-go, there is said some
Okay. Well, first of all, the film takes place in Denmark in the 1750s.
He could have added to that, but didn't. He could have said, in the 1750s, you poor, pathetic creature, there were no black people in that area of the world in 1750. That had not happened. You cannot make a movie realistic to those times with any black people in it. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Former New York Representative Charles Barron boasted about kicking the white population out of his district.
I have the distinct honor to be able to come before you and say I actually lost white population in my community. I lost them. They left. They left. I didn't ask them why. They left. So if you see one or two or three or four or five whites in my neighborhood, they're passing through. So.
Try it the other way. I dare you. As a white Republican, I have the honor to announce that we have lost black population in our city. So if you see some black people walking around, they're just visiting. Gosh, I wonder why one is racist and one is not. Next soundbites in today's Tower Babbling. Listen to this Sky News reporter on the male Canadian school shooter.
Police say the attacker was dead when they found her. She had a self-inflicted wound, and she matched the description given in an earlier police alert. Female, wearing a dress with brown hair. That is extremely unusual. It's rare to have a female attacker.
It's even more rare in that that didn't happen. That was a man. The Sky News reporter who spoke those words is both spiritually captured, a liar, and a full-on coward. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, the Canadian Mounties would deem you an extremist if you believe in traditional values.
Well, radicalization in general quite often will show by people isolating themselves and changing their behavior, like changing what they're saying on a subject, like becoming more extremist. Like if someone you know was very believed in equal gender rights, but all of a sudden are leaning towards like traditional values, and that might be a sign that they're becoming more extremist.
Nothing more extreme than traditional values. Like, that shooter was not a woman. That's extreme. But the shooter, well, I mean, come on. They're the victim. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
If I stood up and lied, you would be the first person to say James Carville lost all credibility last night when he said X, Y, and Z. Yeah, I can spin. I can shade. Everybody does that.
That was the Tower of Babbling. On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note, I was this morning doing some show prep and looking into the state of schools that are attempting to ban cell phones. And this is, praise God, this is happening. I don't know why it took us this long to do it in our youth ministry. But now the main sermon, the big sermon of the night is a phone-free zone. And phone-free zone is going to be enforced and was this Monday. We've always enforced this in my small groups. And it's we need to model that too as leaders. I watched a video this morning of a teacher being pepper sprayed by a student because he warned her about her phone. She wouldn't put it away. He took it away. She pepper sprayed him, chased him out in the hallway with the pepper spray, and was pepper spraying him even as he'd fallen to his knees, unable to see. And I'm brought back to remember some teachers in my life who did not deserve my rage. I was just thinking of the logs in my own eyes and how that rage manifested. And if I could speak to the young me, what would I say? Why was I so angry? There were a whole mess of things, and I'm sure, and God love my dad who is with the Lord. He came to the Lord on his deathbed. I'm sure a lot of it began when my dad left and I had no real male role model in the home for a while. Then the male role model I had was my mom's live-in boyfriend of 7 years, who came in as a violent alcoholic, who became a really good guy with no little help from my mom, who told him, if you want to live in my house, you will never put hands on my son again, and you're going to quit drinking. And he did. Never laid hands on me again, quit drinking, became a good, decent man. But he wasn't my dad. Maybe it came from a sense of justice that I saw lacking in the schools when I was accused of writing on the school walls when I was a little boy. And I didn't do that. And the principal convicted me of it, though he didn't do it, didn't see it. Just an accusation. I ran away from school that day and he went and captured me outside my house. Maybe that's why I was angry. Maybe I was angry because a principal allowed a boy to sexually, not in a rape sense, but to sexually mock with his hands a close relative, and then got angry at me when I went and ended that by, I didn't beat the boy up, I just made it clear I was going to. For whatever reason, I think about teachers like Mr. Jensen, who was a young teacher who one day gave me a grade of BF, a B in terms of the content of my paper, but the F was in relation to the theory of my paper. I was asked to write a paper on what I wanted to be for a career. I said an entertainer. So the paper was well written, but the idea was stupid. So I said something in relation to B and F and D. And then I threatened him when he kicked me out of his class. And I want to apologize to him. And I do remember your first name, Randy, and you didn't deserve that. You were really an energetic young teacher. And you really tried to get us into careers. And I wish I could find you, Mr. Jensen. I'm really sorry, Randy. And there's a lot of others. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again together. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View. I'm off to see my beloved wife.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.